Again, thanks for joining us this morning. If this is your first morning at Living Hope, welcome. It's good to have you with us. And as I do every year when I go on vacation, I make sure that I have someone else to cover the responsibility of preaching for me so I don't have to be thinking about that through the week. And Greg Hirschberger, who is, he and his wife are faithful parts of our body here at Living Hope. His son Greg was playing piano this morning. And his son Greg, I just said
Kevin.
That. I called you Greg the first time. Did I call you Kevin the first time?
No, you've gotten Greg.
I said Greg twice.
Twice.
Okay. His son Kevin was playing the piano this morning. So anyway, I don't know how many of you were here. It was the first Sunday of July. I interviewed Pastor Dick Landis about the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. And Dick is a man who is now in his 70s, and he has taught on the Holy Spirit for years and years. And I asked him this question. I said, Dick, what is one thing, or maybe I said several things, but what are things that a Christian can do to really enhance the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their life, or to really open the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their life? I don't know if you remember me asking him that question, and if you remember me asking him, I don't know if you remember what he said, but the first thing he said and the thing he focused on is what he thought the single most important thing a Christian could do to really enhance the ministry of the Holy Spirit in life was, he said, a devotional life. And what he meant by that was in the Word, in prayer. And then I added on to that, you know, that I felt that was so true, because to recognize the voice of God when he's speaking to you, and that was Paul's testimony, this conversation he has with God, as we spend time in this book, we kind of learn to know that voice, you know. So when Greg told me he would like to bring a message this morning on the book, on the Word, I thought, this is great. This is just going to expand on Pastor Dick's answer. So, Greg, let me pray for you, and then you're free to go then, free to begin. Never mind. I'm a little off my game this morning, as you can tell. I'm still kind of waking up from a long drive yesterday. Father, thank you for your love for us that Paul was talking about, and that communication we can have with you. Now, as Greg brings a message this morning about living by this book and being in this Word, God, I pray that every one of us would be challenged. God, there are probably those here, there may be those here this morning, that reading your Word is just simply not something they've discovered yet. They've just kind of thought, well, that's for pastors or other people. And God, there may be those who also have, like Paul said, maybe once a week or so, maybe Sunday morning they'll read the Word. God, I pray that you would bring this message, Greg, to challenge each of us about the importance of living by this book. So anoint him, Holy Spirit. Speak through him this morning, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. This is a day that God has given to us, and we have a choice. We can either have an attitude, or we can rejoice. And it's interesting that we have choices every day. When we get up in the morning, we can choose that this is going to be a great day, or this is going to be a day that I'm not sure about. We all have choices. But there's something in our life that when we choose to get involved with God, our day will change from not getting involved with God. You know, when we say, Lord, I want you in my life today, then God is almost like Paul was sharing. He's almost like, good, I'm glad you included me in your life today, because I want to help you with all your decisions and everything that goes on in your life. As I was focusing and praying for a message for this morning, it was very clear, living by the book. We live in a day and age where there's a lot of, there's a famine of God's Word. There's people that should know what the Bible says but don't know. And this is not a message this morning where I focus on condemning people. That's not my intention. My intention is whatever I can do to get you closer to Jesus, closer to the Lord, that's what I want. That's what I want. It's all about getting close to God from where you are right now. Half the battle in becoming the man or woman of faith that God wants us to be is seeing what kind of person we are without him in our life. So how can we make sure that we don't walk away from the Word of God? How can we know that we are living by the book? How can we know that? Well, we begin with including God in our life. We have to have a person, a relationship with God, with Jesus, so that he can help us in all of our decisions. No decision that you make is insignificant, because every decision we make has further waves that will flow and out of that decision. So it's very important that we include God in our life, in our decision making. It's not like you have to do this, but it's that, like Paul was saying, it just came, I mean, your testimony came at a great time, because you were talking about the significance of you spending more time in the Word, and that's exactly my desire this morning. When we begin the day with this, Lord, whatever you have for me, I want more of you. I want your help in my life today. Then we include God in everything. It's almost like he's that bumper sticker that says, God is my co-pilot. That's wrong. God is our pilot, and we're just riding along with him, because he wants to be the pilot of our lives. Do you desire to know God's heart? When I was thinking about this, if you really want to know the heart of God, it begins by reading his book. Because in his book, the Word of God, he reveals his heart. Do you want to know what moves God to action today? What really moves him to action today? Just some questions to begin. Just to have it simmer a little bit. That's how spaghetti sauce gets really good. It simmers. And then it really, I don't want to make you hungry yet. But anyway, the simmering effect. How well do you know the God of hope that we sang about this morning? How well do you know? You know, in your bulletin, there's some notes. If you want to copy down some things, we can look at some notes here. And God reveals his heart to us in his practical book of love. We know his heart by reading his book of love. It's a love book to us. All throughout the Word of God, it's about God's love for us, his deep love for us. He longs that we would just grab onto him, hold firm to him, so that he can help us in life. Life is difficult. Is there an amen? It is. It's very difficult. And we need God's help. So God reveals his heart to us in his practical book of love. In fact, God speaks to us through his Holy Spirit to help us understand his heart. It's all works together. The Word, the Holy Spirit, and God's heart. We have the Trinity all throughout our life. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Way back in Genesis, it wasn't God who just created the world. It was the Trinity. I don't have time to turn to it, but if you look in Genesis 1, I think around 27, it'll say us. The pronoun us. That's not single. Us. The Trinity. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. From the very beginning, we're involved in the creation. God speaks to us through his Holy Spirit to help us understand his heart. And so in light of that, we must put aside distractions. We live in a world of distractions. It's either an amen or ouch. I don't know what you want to go for. But anyway, we live in a world of distractions, all kinds of distractions. And they prevent us from hearing God's voice in a clear way. And so we've got to put them aside for times to help us listen clearly to God's voice. An example. Okay, this is just an example. Subtract 30 minutes of Facebook time this week and add 30 minutes of hanging out with God time. It's awful quiet. I know, Facebook can become hours and hours and hours, but just subtract 30 minutes of Facebook. Try it. And add 30 minutes of God time, hanging out with God. See what happens. See what happens. And you might have that conversation like Paul did. Okay, I'm here, Lord. You know, Now, I've subtracted 30 minutes of Facebook time. That's just an example. Now, what do you have for me to replace that 30 minutes of Facebook time? I'm listening. I'm reading. I'm in a worship mode. God is faithful. Can you say that with me? God is faithful. God is always faithful. Let's say that. God is always faithful. We've got to think like God thinks. Because if we think like, oh, the world is against me, I have no friends, woe is me, then that's how we're going to operate in life. But if we know that God is on our side, and we are on the winning side, we might have some battles, but we are going to win the war. Because we're on the winning team. And with God, all things are possible. And so, another example is, how about closing our electronic devices and logging more time in His book? Just some suggestions. I mean, I like to give you some things to hold on to, some practical things. What does that mean for me? You ask God, Lord, I want to spend more time with You. What do I need to subtract today? How much time? It could be getting up earlier. Whatever. God is creative. He knows how He's designed us and how we operate, but we have a lot of electronic devices today. And it's very difficult to hear God's voice with everything going on. So we've got to intentionally take that step. There's a reason why the Bible says in James, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Draw near to you. So we've got to take the step. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to James 1. James chapter 1. That's toward the end of the Bible, New Testament. James chapter 1. I'm going to begin with verse 19. James 1, verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in all that he does. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we are looking into Your word. We know that You speak through Your word and Your Holy Spirit, and just use me as Your vessel right now, because I choose to decrease so that You can increase. Just direct all that's said and done today. Allow us to see more and more of Your heart as we study Your word together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a few things we want to look at when we talk about living by the book. It involves, number one, receiving the word. We've got to receive the word. We've got to not like this. We don't receive the word like this. No, I've got enough of You, Lord. I'll let You know when I have time for You today. No, we've got to receive the word, all that He has for us. We have to be open and receptive people of God's word. The Bible says in verse 21, humbly accept the word planted in you. I accept the authority of this book on my life. I promise not only to believe it, but to do it. We must submit to God's word and receive what it says over everything or anybody else. And so we must receive the word as you would receive a friend into your house. We must cultivate. You can fill in the word cultivate. I'll get into that. I want to say something else yet. We must welcome the word into our lives, just like you welcome your best friend. Welcome the word. Welcome Jesus. In John 1:1 it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. It's talking about Jesus right from the beginning. We welcome Jesus into our house. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Someone has said God's word will keep us from sin, or sin will keep us from God's word. And so when we abide, that means when we live in God's word, it fills us up. It guides our thoughts. It overflows from our lips. And then the truth saturates our hearts and minds. We're saturated with God's word. Saturated, like a sponge. I like to use word pictures, like a sponge. If you fill a sponge full of water, and I could have done that this morning, but I have a mess. So you fill a sponge full of water and start squeezing it, and the water comes out. We're just so full of God. That's what God wants to happen to each one of us. That we're so full of him that it flows out to all the people we contact. Because during the whole day, you will meet some people that have a rotten attitude. And you know who these people are. Hopefully they aren't people that you work with every day. Hopefully you can cheer them up a little bit. But anyway, you have an opportunity to make a difference in their life so that they can smile and they can have some joy in their life, because if you're so full of God's joy, it'll overflow and you'll know it. And God wants us to be vessels that overflow with his presence, overflow with his fruit, love, joy, peace, gentleness. And so we must cultivate a heart and life that welcomes the word of God. You see, the word has been planted in us. In Mark chapter 4, 14 through 20, the Bible says this. Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 14 through 20. Here's what the Bible says, beginning with verse 14. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. And so we need to be receptive of God's word. Not just, Lord, okay, I did this today like a duty. God doesn't want our love for Jesus to be like a duty. He wants our love for Jesus to be like, I can't wait to talk to you, Lord, today. I can't wait to read and have you show me what you have for. It's called daily manna. Daily manna. How many meals do you eat a day? 2, 3 snacks, 4, maybe 5? I don't know. You know how many meals you eat a day, but we need to have that daily nutrition, that spiritual nutrition in our lives. That's the word. The word. And let God speak to us as we read the word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the Bible puts it like this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2 verses there, 6 and 10. Here's what the Bible says. In 6, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And then verse 10, verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. It's about sowing. Sowing. I read the scripture this morning. It's not included there, but I want to read it now. In Isaiah chapter 59, it's amazing how this goes through our generation. It's promised. Isaiah chapter 59, it's a scripture I want to write down and refer to at different times. The last verse in Isaiah 59, verse 21, says, as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you and my words that I have put in your mouth will not depart from your mouth or from the mouths of your children or from the mouths of their descendants from the time on and forever, says the Lord. So the word of God goes through our children and our descendants. It's amazing what happens when we invest in people, when we allow God's word to flow out of us, and it affects other people, especially our family. Families need to be centered around God and the word. And there's different ways of doing that, but prayer is really important. So we must allow the word to flow out of us so it affects our generations. Now, there's a pastor, I think his last name is Torres, and he has this YouTube video that I saw, and it's entitled, Are You Hungry for God? And it's more than 4 minutes, but we're going to see the first 4 minutes. So here we go.
God's people to walk closely with him. You know, it's a crying shame that in these days, we're no longer hungry for the Lord. Are you not hungry? That is the question that I pose to you. Are you not hungry? What are you hungry for? I'm going to read a scripture to you out of the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, we are looking so much for other things to fill our lives. You know why? Because we have lost our appetite. We don't have an appetite. We're no longer hungry for God. We no longer desire that intimate relationship with him. We no longer desire to get in his word and seek his face. You remember when we first got saved, we couldn't wait to go in the word and let God speak to our hearts and give us revelation of his word. You know what I'm saying? So that we can be filled. You know, we no longer have a hunger and thirst for Jesus. We are hungry for other things, right? We seeking other things, but sadly enough, those things won't fill us. That's why we are living lives that are incomplete. We are not happy. You know, we are not satisfied. We always looking for love in all the wrong places, you know. But I'm telling you that God wants to get back in a relationship with you. He wants to open up your appetite. Have you ever been to a place and you really wasn't hungry, but you saw somebody and they were eating a piece of watermelon or a fruit, and all of a sudden you had a desire? That's what we need to get back for. We need to get back to people who will provoke us, to will provoke us to seek the Lord, not to be preaching these messages that really, that just tickle our ears. We need a word from God. We need to get back to repentance, and we need to get back to living holy lives, you know, separated. Holiness means separated for God. You know, we need to understand that the only thing that's going to really satisfy us and fill us is Jesus Christ. It's our pursuit of him. It's seeking him, you know, and desire that intimate relationship with him, that we can pray and talk with him and cry out to him and just pour out our hearts to him, you know, and have that close relationship. We need to get back. I remember times when evangelist Billy Graham and all those old evangelists used to come to the towns and stir up the town. You know, they would preach against sin, and the Holy Ghost would bring conviction to our hearts that we needed a Savior, that we needed to have a relationship with God. What happened to those days? What happened to the evangelists that would come and move, bring a word that will move the people to seek God? That's where we need to get back for as a people, as a nation. To get back to God so that God can open up our appetite, that we'll be hungry for him, hungry for righteousness. That's what we need to be, hungry for him, because he promises that when we are hungry for him, that when we seek him, he will fill us up. You know, he makes us complete in him. We no longer will go out there and get in debt, you know, trying to buy 2 and 3 cars and keeping up with the Joneses. You know, try to, you know, that's temporarily. That's temporarily. You know, what I would love the Lord is to fill me, to meet those needs, to take away that emptiness inside of me. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. You know, praise God. I just want to bring a word.
Okay, that's good.
I know, the whole thing, you can look it up on YouTube. You can hear the whole message, the short message, about 9 minutes. But this guy is hungry for God. It's an example, you know, and it's contagious. It's contagious because when we understand that the God wants to meet us every day, He wants us to devour His Word. He wants us to devour more of Him. Just all that He has for us. He wants us to just welcome Him. As part, He's our Abba Father. He's our Daddy. He's the one who loves us deeply. He wants us to just welcome all that He has for us. And sometimes it's trials and it's refining. Say refining. Refining. Refining is not pleasant. I have lots of those t-shirts. It's not pleasant, but it's worth it all because He knows what we need. And so if you are in God's refining house right now, just hang on to Him because He's got more for you. He's got better things, but He's preparing you. You know, we have different people in the Bible. That Moses, he was in God's refining house, only it wasn't just for a few days, right? It was for many years. Refining, preparation time. Jesus had preparation time. He was out in the wilderness, the desert, and He was tempted and everything else. We all have those refining times that we need. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible puts it like this. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 4. Here's what the Bible says. It says, Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." That's our spiritual nourishment. So whatever your favorite meal is, okay, you're thinking about it right now, your favorite meal, okay, think about the Word of God right there with it. Nourishment. Something you just thoroughly enjoy. And you know, I cannot force you to enjoy God's Word. I cannot force you to enjoy God's presence or your relationship with Jesus. But I can tell you on the assurance of my life, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. Just, the Bible says, oh, taste and see that, yeah, just taste them a little bit. Just taste. I remember one time my wife, we were in charge of the youth, Mike, and one time my wife and I, we were at an event, and they had spinach mashed potatoes, okay? And the youth were all going, looks awful, awful. And I told them, I don't know, one of us told them, just take a bite, just taste it. And they loved it. It disappeared. And they never had it before, but it didn't look good. But it was really amazing. It tasted so good. Anyway, it just taste and see that the Lord is good. The second thing we want to look at as we respond to God's Word, or as we live by the book, we must respond to His Word. The Bible says, do what it says. Say that with me. Do what it says. Hey, you're just quoting Scripture. That's all you're doing. One more time. Do what it says. Yeah, yeah. How many times did your parents ask you to do something and you didn't do it and they would say, just do what I said. That's all I want. Just do what I said. You know, no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts in painting, I'll tell you that. You know, you've got to do it right. Otherwise, it's a mess. It's a mess. Do what it says. After we receive the word, we follow up with a response. In verse 25, James says that we will be blessed as we respond to the word of God. And so, hearing the word of God without responding to it is like chewing without swallowing. Oh, yuck. Chewing. A bite full of food, you're chewing it and you say, oh, I don't need this stuff, and you spit it out. No. That's not good manners. Without swallowing, you just let it hang there. Eventually, we've got to not only chew on God's Word, we've got to swallow it. We've got to allow that to become part of us. It's nourishment. Food is nourishment for our bodies. Some of you might be saying, well, some food, I don't know. But anyway, food is nourishment. It's intended to be nourishment for our bodies, and we need food. Listening is something that is active in nature compared with hearing, which is passive. And that's the next one that you can fill in there. Listening is very active hearing, you can hear a lot of things. You can hear people say lots of things, but it doesn't become listening until you understand the voice tone and exactly what it's saying. A case in point. When our children are really small, you know, like, I don't know, 5, 4 years old, whatever, I'd be reading the paper, and they'd be talking to me. And I'd be saying, you know, how, yeah, okay, yeah. Finally, there's a smash of a hand right in the middle of the paper. And now they've got my attention. And different times they would say things like, Daddy, I'm talking to you. Okay? And then I was listening. See the difference between hearing and listening? You hear, but listening, you're focused. You're focused. Listening. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 3, the Bible goes like this. Nehemiah. It's interesting how the Bible has so much to equip us with that will help us in life. In Nehemiah 8, verse 3, the Bible says, he read it aloud, that is the word, from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all, now get this, listen carefully, and all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. That was from daybreak till noon. The word of God. And in Matthew 7:24, the Gospel of Matthew, it puts it like this. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Here's what the word of God says. One verse here. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Puts into practice. Applies them. So how do you spend your time with the Father? Just some questions. Are you doing all the talking with God, or do you spend it listening to hear what God has to say too? It's conversation is a two-way. Communication is a two-way communication. It's listening and speaking. Listening and speaking. There's a lot that God wants to say to us, but if we're not listening, we won't hear it. We won't hear what he has to say. Listening involves a response to what we have heard. In fact, in the Gospel of John 10, verse 27, the Bible puts it like this. John 10, verse 27. Here's what the Bible says. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. And Jesus goes on to say, and they follow me. And they follow me. Listening to the voice of God. Whether you like it or not, we are sheep. We are sheep. And sheep need help. If you've ever worked with sheep, they need lots of help. I've tried to catch sheep before. The farm we lived on up in Belleville, forget it. You know. Sheep need lots of help. And God says that we're sheep. And it says, and then the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. That means we need God's help. Every day we need God's help. And so there is a calling by the Holy Spirit of God to respond to his truth. God's word is not something to be stored away in the back of our minds. We are called to live out the truth. In 1 John 1, verse 6, the Bible puts it like this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. Here's what the Bible says. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie, do not live by the truth. So we need help. We need to encounter God in our life. It's like when you're going out to eat, there's a great difference between reading a menu and eating the meal. Between holding a prescription and taking the medicine. We need to take the next step. Take the next step. I don't know what that is for you, but take the next step. Thirdly, we must understand that living by the book involves reading the word. Now, let me tell you something with a word. There's many ways that you can hear the word. You can have it on CD, and you can listen to it. And there's different things out there that you can buy where the word is read in a dramatic way. Lots of expression. You won't fall asleep. I mean, there's lots of things. I have some CDs on Revelation with an orchestra and everything, reading the word, and it's amazing. It's amazing. So there's different ways that you can get the word in if you aren't a reader, if you'd like to hear it. But we've got to get the word in our system. It's got to become part of us. Reading the word looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. The Greek word means to carefully investigate. Carefully investigate. Now, there's a picture I have here, and there's only two people in here that I know who have seen it. You've probably never seen this before. It was printed in 1957 in Korea. What is that? It's a picture of Jesus, right? Jesus, right? Picture of Jesus. Yeah, everyone see that? Picture of Jesus. That's what it is. Afterward, you can come up and look at it. We're close. Because the closer you get to Jesus, the more you understand his word. The closer you get. This is the entire New Testament. Over 900 lines. The entire New Testament. Have anybody ever seen anything like this? It's amazing. The entire New Testament is right here. You got to really have good eyes. I have a magnifying glass up there. Afterwards, you can come and look at it. From Matthew through Revelation, the entire New Testament is right here. So the closer you get to Jesus, guess what? The more you understand his word. It's just amazing. It's really, really, I mean, you really have to have good eyes to see it. When I was younger, I could make out some words. My students, when I taught, they could understand it. But it's the entire word, New Testament, everything. I know, curious people. One more shot. It's really, really tiny. You really have to have good eyes. But it's the entire New Testament, beginning to end. It's over 900 lines. It tells you the date, 1957, I think. Korea. Yeah, it's amazing. I tried to get a copy of this. You can't. I couldn't get anything like that. Anyway, afterwards, when I'm done, got a magnifying glass, you can come look. Okay? Just in case you're saying, I'm not sure about that. I don't think that's the Bible. And that sheet, it is. So that is when we examine the word. In fact, that's what really we need to do. We need to look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. Examine everything. In Luke 24, Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 32. Here's what the Bible says. Luke 24, verse 32. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They understood. He was right there in their midst. And they were probably asking, why did we miss it? You know, he was right there. In Jeremiah 15, verse 16, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15, verse 16. I don't have that one up there. You can add that. 15, verse 16. This is amazing. Jeremiah said, when your words came, I ate them. Did you know that? When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. For I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. So we are to examine God's word. God desires us to gaze. Just gaze at his word. The Greek word actually means to look intently. It means to stoop down and gaze. Stoop down and gaze at God's word. Next, living by the book involves reviewing the word. Review, review, review. I used to teach school, and before a test, I would tell my students, review. Review the material. Before you go out where the rubber meets the road every day, are you listening? Before you go out where the rubber meets the road every day, we've got to have a review time with God. Lord, what do you want? I need that preparation time. And then at the end of the day, I call that debriefing. Lord, what did you teach me today? If you're a person that writes things down, it's kind of good to write things down. Lord, what did you teach me today? Who do I need to pray for? Who in my neighborhood needs Jesus? Do you believe that if you pray for the salvation of someone in your neighborhood, that God hears that? And that they need the Lord? And He will orchestrate that? We've seen it happen. You have not because you ask not. Cry out to God. For who is on your list, your top five lists of people that you're praying for that need Jesus in their life? I'm just asking a question. You don't have to answer. That's between you and God. But there ought to be some people that you're praying for that need Jesus on your list. Reviewing the Word, it says, continues to do this. In 2 Timothy 3:14, the Bible puts it like this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Here's what the Bible says. Verse 14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. We must make reading of the Word a regular habit. Just a regular habit. It's got to be part of us. Just a regular habit. If you do something for 30 days, people have said that it becomes a habit. We have good and bad habits. So try this. Try reading God's Word. If you aren't consistent in the Word, try reading God's Word for 15 minutes a day. I mean, just a bite-sized piece. 15 minutes a day. For 30 days. That can be 15 minutes in the morning, at lunchtime, in the evening, but try it. Because we need to have an appetite for God's Word. And once that habit is there, then the desire is there. Oh, I can't miss. Some of you, it's automatic in the morning. Before you get to work, you have your cup of coffee, right? What would happen if you'd missed that cup of coffee when you're used to it? You know, or some of you might have an energy drink. I don't know. But, you know, you've got to have something. It's a routine. Well, reading God's Word, I'm not saying that's just a routine, but I'm saying that after we do that for so many days, then it becomes more than a routine. It becomes something that we can't miss. We've got to have it. We've got to have God's Word. It's a regular habit. This is not a once-and-done act, but it's an ongoing, listen carefully, this is an ongoing act of worship. When we read God's Word, it's an ongoing act of worship. We are worshiping God. We are connecting with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to us in such a way that we will be equipped for whatever God has for us that day. It's that equipping time. It's that preparation time that's so great. We need it. But what happens if we miss that and then we wonder at the end of the day when we have our debriefing time, we say, oh, I guess I was too busy for God today. And then we go back to the next day and we start over. We can't go back to yesterday, but we can focus on today, what we can do today. We are created to worship God. The last thing I want to look at is we must remember the Word. Remembering the Word. Not forgetting what he has heard. In Joshua 1 verse 8, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible puts it like this. Joshua 1 verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, and then you will be prosperous and successful. It's interesting, the verse after that, verse 9, I don't have it up there, but I'll read it. Have I not commanded you?
Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God is with us wherever we go. I'm just reading what God has in there. I'm not, you know, some people, they read the Bible today and they say, I don't like that. Rip. They don't literally rip it out, but in their minds, they're ripping out pages of Scripture. They're saying, I don't like what that says, so I'm not going to do that. Forget that, you know. And then you come to the end of the Bible, Revelation, it says, uh-oh, don't take anything out or don't add to it because there's a consequence. You want to know what that is? Read the last book of the Bible, Revelation. It talks about that. Psalm 119, 148. Here's what the Bible says. Psalm 119, verse 148. Verse 148. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night. You know, if God wakes you up in the middle of the night, and you're saying, I'm not done sleeping yet. My alarm didn't go off. Why am I up here in the middle of the night? Oh, maybe I have to go to the bathroom, and then you go to the bathroom, come back, and you can't sleep. It could be that God's asking you to just spend time with Him. It's unusual, but it happens sometimes. It could be that there's a special person that He places on your heart that you need to pray for. And then you find out that they really needed prayer. God's ways are not our ways. We have no idea what God's up to. But our role is to submit and to surrender and say, come, Lord Jesus. That's our role. There's a person, true story, a young fellow named Porky who worked in the shipyards of San Diego. And one day he got invited to a Sunday school class taught by two little old ladies. In that class, the teachers assigned a set of Bible verses to memorize, and a prize would be given to the team that had the most memorized. Next week, it turned out that Porky had memorized all the verses and the rest of the class had memorized none. The teachers gave the same assignment with different verses, and of course, the rest of the team was excited to have Porky on their team. That following week, again, Porky was the only one who had memorized the verses. Well, one day as he was walking along, God brought to mind one of those verses, John 1:12, which says, yet to all who received him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Right then, Porky said to God, I don't know what it means to receive you, but in faith, as best I know how, I receive you. And that moment, Dawson Trotman became a child of God. And it was the beginning of a movement called the Navigators that today spreads the good news of Jesus Christ all across the country and around the world in 105 countries. That was his beginning as Porky. I don't know if you ever heard that story before, but it's amazing what happens when we have God's word inside of us and the beginning, and God allows that word to just grow and it's nourished, and all at once it blooms and something happens and it multiplies worldwide. That's what happened. Who would have thought? God wants everyone, young and old, to memorize the word. I still remember the ABCs. A, all we like sheep have gone astray. B, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. C, children, obey your parents in the Lord. D, on and on we can go, you know. Deliver us from evil. E, even a child is known by his doings. And on and on. It just stays with you. It's like, why do you know John 3:16? Because you've repeated it over and over. It becomes part of you. Why not more? Why not add to your memory verses? There's all kinds of ways you can do this. I don't have time to get into it. But you can have like little cards in your pocket. And when you have a break, lunch break, you can pull that out and look at it for 3 minutes. Just think about it. 3 minutes. Pretty soon, that scripture becomes part of you, and you've got it, and now you're ready for another one, and another one. It's just amazing what happens when God's word becomes part of us, and we're dwelling in the word of God. We're taking in all of God. Well, that's basically the our words. But the important thing is, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Would you close your eyes with me? I'd like to close in prayer. But as I'm closing in prayer, I just would invite you, if God has been speaking to you and you're saying, I need to take a step this week. I've got a lot that I've heard this morning, and I need to take a step this week to at least include more of God's word in my life. I need to make some changes this week. Little steps become great steps, but I want to take that step this week. If that's you, just raise your hand up and down so I can see what's going on. Yes, I see them. Others, you want to take that step this week to allow the Word of God to become more part of you instead of just a hit and miss. And you're saying, this morning, I need to do that. Are there others? Others? Yes, I see those. Anybody else? You're saying, I need to make a change in my life. I've been just treading water too long. I feel like I'm sinking. I need more of God in my life. And I'm going to begin that this week. Anybody else? Before I close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this time this morning. Thank you for the way in which you will use the words that we've heard this morning. And I confess that they may have not come out in a clear way, but Lord, you can bring clarity to everything this morning. I just pray that those people that raise their hands, that this would be a significant week in their spiritual journey. There would be a change that takes place, and it would affect other people. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. I just pray that there, those people that raise their hands, there would be a spirit of courage and boldness and focus this week in their lives. Jesus, be the center of our lives this week. We just confess weakness and ask that you would equip us with a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit for the work that you're calling us to do. And for those people that have, they're overwhelmed with life, I just pray that you would sit down beside them, surround them, give them a Jesus hug. Oh, Lord, I just pray that those people that are overwhelmed right now with life, that they would experience your love, Lord Jesus, in a fresh way. Come, Lord Jesus. You know what we need. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name.